Last month, an Indian man came to stay in my hotel for the first time. He had made a reservation for one of the smallest rooms. And while he was checking in, I happened to be in the restaurant and I saw him chatting with my front desk officer. He seemed to be a pleasant man, a jovial man, and while conversing with my staff, while trying to check in, he asked if their MD was around. Since I was there, I heard him, I just went forward, just said hello to him and all that. And then I realized that he was going for the smallest room. And I profiled him a bit, you know. This is a big man, why is he going for a small room? And luckily, our biggest room was available. It was Monday. Usually Monday is not really the most active. So the biggest room was available. So I told my staff that we should upgrade him to the biggest room. Just because I want to make him more comfortable. Just because I know that when he's more comfortable, he will find something good to say about my company. He told me that he actually came in the first time that day because some Indians had come in earlier, maybe like 2 weeks earlier, and that they loved the place. So that was why he came. So like I said, I wanted to impress him. The following morning, I got a call, and he was the one on the line. My staff had given him my phone number, and he called to make a complaint. He said, first of all, the night before when he wanted to have dinner, they gave him the menu, and he told the lady to come back after a while. And for a long time, according to him, the lady didn't come back because she was busy. The three or four guests came in at the same time, and she was busy trying to check them in, and the man got annoyed and walked and went to his room. He was telling me all this. And the second thing that he said when he woke up in the morning, he went to the restaurant to ask for a cup of coffee. And by the time he got there, that he saw the same front desk officer who was to serve him the night before, the same front desk officer was cleaning the restaurant. And he said this was enslavement. Ooh, that was a heavy word for me. And he said, when somebody tells you the situation is enslavement and you are in charge, that means he's probably certainly calling you a slave master. Ooh, that was heavy in my heart. And I was trying to justify why there was only one person, because it was Monday, not many guests. We don't expect many guests and this and that. And we're just a small hotel. You can't recruit everybody for every function like that. He wasn't ready to listen and said, I'm never coming back here again. And that was it. What pained me most was that he called me, sort of, a slave master. This morning, I will be sharing with you on what I have titled, Who Do People Say That I Am? Who do people say that you are? Let's turn to the book of Matthew 16. And I'll read from verse 13. Verse 13 to 17. Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I wonder why Jesus wanted to know this. who do people say that I am? Why would Jesus be concerned or interested in what people thought or what people said of him? An appraisal of Jesus? Should someone be concerned about what people thought of him? Should someone be concerned about what people thought of his family? Should you be bothered what people thought of your business or anything that pertains to you? Should you? You hear many people sometimes say that, I don't care what people say about me. If you are one of them, maybe you should reconsider. Should you not be concerned knowing that the way people think about you determines the way they communicate with you, the way they relate with you, the way they react to you? What people say about your business, for instance, will determine if they will come back and do business with you, if they will refer you to other people. The first set of Indians that came before this one came, they had a good experience. They said good things about us to this other Indian. This other Indian came, he had an unpleasant experience. He will tell other people bad things about us. I will also be concerned to know if what I am doing, if my action is achieving the results intended for it to achieve. Am I effective? I would like to know. So Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? And the disciples of Jesus said, they answered, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say you are one of the other prophets. People had assessed Jesus and they had something to say about him based on his works and his words. Jesus was going about preaching the word of God and healing the sick, doing miracles. That was his habit. That was what he was doing repeatedly. A person's repeated actions make people say that is who he is. So as Jesus was going about preaching, like the prophets of old, the people said he was one of the prophets, which was not a bad assessment of Jesus. He was preaching around and doing the same thing like the prophets, old prophets were doing. So it was easy and fair enough to say he was one of the old prophets. Jesus' good deeds defined him. A man's deeds will always build up his reputation. Proverbs 20:11 says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether it is pure and right. Even a child. One interesting thing about life that Jesus also experienced is that people may see us differently. Someone does not like you, and probably won't see anything good in you. Somebody just likes you. In fact, if anybody else had something negative about you, no, that's not the person you're talking about. So while some people saw Jesus as a prophet, the Pharisees and the scribes, they saw him differently. Differently. They said he was a blasphemer because after healing the paralytic, Jesus told him that his sins were forgiven. So because of that, made him a negative person. They said he was a friend of sinners and tax collectors. They said he was a glutton and a wine bibber. They said he was a Sabbath lawbreaker. They said that he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. So no matter who you are, it seems that someone may refer to you as good, while others may see you as bad. People can find something negative to say, even about your good works. That is the funny thing about life. The disciples' answer to Jesus' question on who people said Jesus was not accurate. Jesus was not John the Baptist. Jesus was not Elijah. He was not Jeremiah. Jesus was not one of the other prophets. So they were not accurate. But they were fair. That's based on what they heard people saying. Not them this time. The thing is, the public opinion of you can never be as correct as the perception of people closest to you. The disciples lived with Jesus. They moved with him. They walked with him. They ate with him. It was like a friendship relationship. It was like a family relationship. It was like a boss and subordinate relationship. There was that bond, that closeness. So Jesus asked these people close to him a second question. Okay, I've heard what you said people thought of me. What about you? Who do you say that I am? Oftentimes, there could be a disparity between who people perceive you to be and who you desire to be, or even who God says you are. Disparities come. People could see you differently from what you claim to be. You may desire yourself to be something, but your results, the way you come across, does not reflect that. So the response to the question, who do people say I am, or how am I doing, will help you to confirm if you are seeing the way you expect. So, my brothers and sisters, you need feedback. You need feedback. Peter's answer of, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that answer must have pleased Jesus. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because he was pleased that Peter saw him the way he is. Peter was correct to the letter. So Jesus was excited with that. Just imagine, if Peter had said, oh, you are Elijah, as some people say you are, how would Jesus have felt? I would have felt, oh, with all that association you have with me, you still don't know me. Or maybe I am not manifesting my sonship as I should. In short, something is incomplete in the situation. Should everyone's opinion of you matter? I will say no. You don't need everybody's opinion of you. Just as in the case of the Pharisees and scribes concerning Jesus, you know, these people, they were not close to Jesus. Not like, rather than close, they were more of antagonists, enemies, always looking for something against Jesus. Always looking. Even the good works, they misinterpret it as something evil and bad. So who your enemies say you are should not matter, because it comes out of their desire to mislead you and to destroy you. Ecclesiastes 7:21 says, do not take to heart everything people say. Do not take to heart everything people say. Then he said, lest you hear your servant cursing you. But there's another dimension to that. I believe that it may be good at times hearing who your workers say you are, because you have a close relationship with them. In the story of Nabal in 1 Samuel 25, let's read 1 Samuel 25 from verse 14. I'll read. It says, now, one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt. Nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them. When we were in the fields, they were a wall to us both by night and day. All the time we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what you will do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak with him. That is his staff. Staff of Nabal. Says Nabal is a scoundrel. That's a big word. I tried to say, what is a scoundrel? So I went back to the dictionary to get a better understanding of a scoundrel. Bottom line, even from the writing, it shows it's a terrible thing, right? Different definitions came from the word scoundrel. So I was able to just pick the ones that are relevant to me. Wicked, mean. Those were synonyms to scoundrel. So you can imagine your subordinate saying to somebody else that that man is a wicked man. It's a mean man. That was the story here. As a matter of fact, this man was telling Nabal's wife what all the workers probably felt about Nabal. Verse 25. This is Abigail now talking to David. He said, please, let not my lord regard this scoundrel Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. Can you imagine, even your wife, the wife thinks the guy is a scoundrel. The staff think he's a scoundrel. That is double wahala. Double wahala. So if your staff and spouse see you as wicked, then you need to have a rethink. That is two or three witnesses, right? You need to have a rethink. It would have been better for Nabal to have heard how he was perceived by people close to him, so he could change his ways before the destruction that came to him. So you need the opinion of those that matter. You need the opinion of those that matter. Those you relate with, those who are valuable to you. For instance, you want to respect the opinion of the pastor in the house. That is the spiritual father of everyone. If he says you are this, or you are behaving this way, or you are not, this is what I think about you, don't take it with levity. This is a serious matter. Your spouse, you live together. Every step you take, every move you make, he is watching you. Don't take your spouse's opinion for granted. Your children, you live with them. Your parents, They've known you from day one. They know who you are, your character. That inner behavior or misbehavior, they know. If you respect their opinion. Your workers. I always tell my workers that really, we spend more time together than even with my family. Because we are at work for several hours. When you are at home, most of the time you are sleeping. So the communication won't be as much as in the office to an extent. So you want to listen to how your staff think you are or who they think you are. You relate with these people on a regular basis and you intend to have a better relationship with them. So take to heart who these people say you are. Effective people and organizations seek feedbacks on how they are doing from time to time. Whether the feedback is good or bad, you need to know. Positive feedbacks help you to appreciate that you are on the right path. So you can continue doing the good work that you've been doing. Negative feedbacks, they prompt you to reflect on your ways and to reinvent yourself. Negative feedbacks call for change. Many years back, about 15 years ago, thereabout, while I was working in a bank, I drew up a questionnaire and I told all the branch managers reporting to me to review me. And I told them I want them to be as honest as possible and that it is anonymous. If I knew who was filling it, I figured that if I rate them negatively during the next appraisal, they would think maybe because they abused me or they cursed me. So I said it's anonymous. And I told them they should send the feedback to my secretary. And I told my secretary that I don't want to know who sent what. Just collate the review and give to me at the end of the day, a week or two. So at the end of the period, the assessments came and I went through. All were positive assessments. Positive, this is a good leader, this, that, good to know. But for me to have even initiated that review, I was probably looking for something too. I wanted somebody to tell me that I need to do something better or differently to be a better leader. But luckily, one of them wrote something and he said, I needed to improve in this area as a good leader. I was actually happy that somebody wrote something, because I know I'm not perfect at all. Maybe you are. And the person didn't just stop there. The person now, in whatever mail he sent to my secretary, he added a book on that area. So I read. It wasn't surprising to me. And I was reading and I took it as an opportunity for me to develop and grow in that area. That I needed it as a good leader. Till date, I don't know who sent that or who remarked in that way. One thing I'd like to say is that anytime you do a review for somebody or you want to give somebody a feedback, if you do it in a way that the person won't feel hurt to an extent. Like for instance, if I wanted to tell you, if you ask me who am I or whatever, I won't tell you that you are a wicked person. That's me, we're all different. Some people will say, they'll give it to you as it is. I'll tell you that you need to improve by being more nicer, being more this, being more... No, you need to improve. That is how I approach it. You need to improve. You need to improve. You need to be better. Not that you are the worst of all people. In my company, We desire to be identified as the best hotel in Ibadan, regardless of our small size. So after guests have checked out, we send them an email thanking them, and then we send a link for them to be able to review us. And once they do that review, it's not that it's coming to me, it's going on the internet worldwide. Many times, but most of the times, we have good reviews. Sometimes we have bad reviews, and of course, everybody will see it. The bad reviews are indicators of areas we need to work on to being the best we desire to be. So when our Indian guests complained about delayed service and that slave thing, I had to make some changes. Whether it's true or not, but that impression is there. Whether it's because he even came for a day and didn't see us, assess us for a long period, bottom line, that impression is there. So I had to relook at what could have caused him to make such remarks, and I had to introduce some changes so that that negative impression will not show up again. We need to have people in our lives who can tell us who they see us as, even if their intention is to hurt us or humor us. We should take what we hear as a means of strengthening us and making us a better person. As long as you have a positive attitude, hearing negative words about you may be part of God's plan to bring about a great change in your life. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 1 talks about Hannah, one of the wives of Elkanah. Hannah, we know, we remember, was barren. Peninnah had children, and Peninnah would come and tease Hannah, call her names, provoke her, make her sad. But all that she was doing was to provoke her to pray differently and to experience a change in her story. Who do people say you are? What negative words are people saying concerning you? It is okay to hear these words sometimes. Just let those words trigger you and bring about a great change in your life. Let those words fire you up to work on yourself. Sometimes you need to be called a failure for God to catapult you to a position of reckoning. Failure, olodo, whatever, I can't do anything right. You need that once in a while for God to change your story. Many years back, also as a banker, I was the group head, group zonal head, we used to call it one long big word, group zonal head, Western region or whatever, Zenith Bank. And we used to have this quarterly meeting or bi-monthly meetings in the head office. So on this particular occasion, I went to present for our zone, just the group zonal heads, with the directors and the MD. So we're supposed to present what was happening, the results of our zones. And the practice was like the last zone, the last performing zone, or least performing zone, will be the one to present first. So it was Western Zone. So I presented. After my presentation, the MD made a remark about my being the last. I was actually ashamed. The whole hall was quiet, listening to what that MD was going to decide. I'm pitying the poor man standing in front. So after he had said what he wanted to say, say, Wale, so what do you have to say? The fact. That was when I knew the Holy Spirit was in charge. You know, the Holy Spirit told me what to do in a few seconds. Something I didn't even prepare for at all. And I said that in any race, for that boldness, I don't even know where I got it from. I said, in any race, there will always be a last person. In fact. And I said, the prayer of the last man is never to be last again. That this is the last time Western Zone will ever be the last. In fact, it's as if like people should just give me a standing ovation. Even the MD himself said, that is a good one. And he said, clap for Wale. He said, the whole universe will support you. That's what he said. And of course, the story changed. Totally. But before the story changed, what happened now? Immediately after the meeting, thank you. Before getting to Ibadan, I had called all my zona heads. I said, look, meeting on Monday. Let's meet in Ibadan. I got there. We talked. Look, this is it. This is it. This is a threat. You can't imagine me going there again next 2 months and it's like a ticket to exit or whatever, you know. So we have to run. Those places we haven't been visiting. Let's go. These customers. Have you asked people in your church to link you up to people, refer? So we are fired up. And there was a change. It was then that I learned, really, that you should never say you have tried your best. So when my staff at times, any staff up to today, somebody tells me, I've tried my best. No, you haven't tried your best. You can only try your best when you have been under fire. Oh, I've tried my best. Let them tell you that your job is gone tomorrow. A new best will surface. A new best will surface. You need to be provoked to achieve greater heights. You need it. In fact, you should be praying for some provocation that will not destroy you, or the one that will fire you up to a greater height. God will make what was meant to cause you shame as a trigger for your greatness in Jesus' name. Finally, as I close, just as Jesus asked his disciples, you too should ask people close to you sometimes, who do you say I am? Ask your pastor, ask your leaders, ask your colleagues, even the pastors, you ask the followers, who do you say I am? But I'll tell you, the easiest thing to do for a leader is what I did there. Make it anonymous. Send it so that you hear the truth. Who do you say I am? Let people tell you who they think you are. What are you known for? Is it pride? Are you humble? Are you trustworthy? Are you known for being a crook? An adulterer? You are vindictive? You don't forgive people? You are a swindler? A beggar? A thief, wise, kind, you are a 419. So many things that we people can define us. So many. You should ask yourself, are these qualities true? Are you happy with what you hear people say you are? If you are not, then it is time for you to reflect on who people say you are and to re-strategize. Re-strategize, rethink your way, reflect, and make changes to your life. Let us rise up to pray. Please help us to project Isaiah 62 from verse 1 to verse 4. So for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness. and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. Let us turn this to prayers for ourselves. Let's turn it to prayers. Let us pray that people will see the righteousness of God in us. People will see the righteousness of God in us. You know, like I said, people can see the bad and good in you. But Lord, let people see the righteousness of you in me. Let people see the virtues of Christ in me. Let us pray that God will give us a new name. If you are perfect, of course, you don't need a new name. Your name is already perfect. But if there's still a gap in you, let's pray that God will change us and give us a new name. Pray that God will make you precious in His hands. You will be precious in the hands of God. That people will no longer look down on you. The word says you are the light of the world, and that light you will be indeed, in the name of Jesus. Ask God for Him to give you the grace to do the things that would delight Him always. And that's very important. So that God will be delighted in you. God, please delight in me. Ask God to help you in every area of your weakness. Let help come from above for you. Help in every area of your weakness. Let God help you. Let God deliver you. Lord, give me a new name. As you have declared, so shall it be in Jesus' name. The Lord will cause you to be celebrated. The Lord will cause you to rejoice. Your peace shall not be taken away from you by anyone or any story in the name of Jesus. From glory to glory, that is your new name. Father, we thank you. We glorify your name. For in Jesus' name we have prayed.